so. Jesus loves me, he who died. Heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Now give the name of the town you was born in.
This town.
Let it shine in Corning, New York. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine in Corning, New York. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine.
Praise you and thank you that we can be in Sunday school for 3 minutes before we go to church. Praise you again and thank you that we could worship on this Lord's Day. Smile on our efforts to lift up the name of your Son. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I trust that everyone from Vision Baptist College knows this song. Trying to start our church service with this. Did we all get a bulletin? If y'all got a bulletin, it's the first song.
Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning. Blessed Redeemer, sing, oh earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shadow, Jesus will guard his children in his arms. He carries them all day long.
blessed Redeemer, for our sins He suffered and bled and died. That we can worship together today. Thank you for the first day of the week. Thank you for Independence Day, a celebration again of the freedoms that we have in this country to gather together in your name and to lift up your name in song and in preaching and in fellowship. And I pray, Father, again that you'd smile on our efforts here to lift up your name today. We love you. Thank you again for the change you brought in our lives to cause again that we'd want to gather together with other believers on this day. And as we're here, I pray again that you touch each one and cause again that our fellowship and our worship especially would be acceptable in your sight. And Father, that we could again see your name exalted. Hear each prayer whispered from this service. Be with us, be with those that would join us, Father, for our recordings or our Facebook. And pray again, Father, that you just encourage and bless and help us. Thank you again for this Lord's Day when we celebrate again Independence Day weekend and the 4th of July and all that's involved in a lifting up a patriotic heart to you and rejoicing in what you did. You've already blessed America. Father, now we have Americans who are trying to burn her down. And I pray again, Father, that you'd see their efforts and bring them to confusion and cause even this day that your name could be exalted in a country that was founded after you, Father. Israel was a people called by your name, but America is a people that called on your name to form this country. We praise you. We thank you. And pray again, Father, that you'd accept our worship. Thank you so much for family and friend and celebration that we've already had this weekend. And pray now again that you'd bless our worship on this Lord's Day. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ now as we'd ask it. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see each one here today. I thought the Moors had gone off to Letchworth Park or something. Did you get out there riding or no? Oh. All right, I guess the Cramners are viewing from Letchworth. Do we have Facebook going? And is Zach here?
He was.
He ain't in the parking lot. I don't think he got our parking lot stickers on. Roland's here. Praise the Lord. All right. And it's good to have Jonah here visiting from Vision Baptist College. Is that good?
Yes, sir.
All right, praise the Lord. And then it's good to have all the Rices here. Praise the Lord. My son Matt is here. And what a beautiful day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hold the fort, for I am coming. If you got something to wave around there, get a Bible. Then, all right. Let's see, would we do the third verse twice? We should do it again. I like that verse. Let's do the last verse. Praise the Lord.
Fierce and long the battle rages, but our help is near. Onward comes our great commander. Cheer, my comrades, cheer. Hold the fort, for I am coming.
Bible, open it up. Let's all open it up to the book of...
Everybody awake now?
Psalms. Ooh. That was to wake up our telephone.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, Psalms 150 is where we were at. Psalms 150. We got a couple psalms that's been our favorite for opening church. And Psalms 150 is one of my favorites. I think that's the one that's got them instruments of 10 strings in there. So let's go ahead and stand and read God's Word together. Today, Psalms 150 in your Bible. Appreciate again God's holy word. That's what draws us together on this Lord's Day. And this 150, if you look at all of the last six or eight psalms here, are again all psalms of praise. And let's just read this one aloud and together. Psalms 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise ye, Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that so much. You may be seated. It's good to have Jen visiting here. Jen, if you'd pick out a song there, come on up and sing a special here. Just before announcement, we appreciate it. Again, we got a house full at the Rices, and what a blessing it's been. And let's see, a couple other announcements I had that slipped me, but I'll think of them here in a minute again. So it's good again to be here on the 4th of July. We're just going to fit you in here sometime today too, again, to preach on the Pledge of Allegiance. So just before Jen comes, let's all stand one more time and let's do the Pledge of Allegiance. In fact, let's do all of our pledges. We usually do that in Sunday school. So let's start with the pledge to the Bible, if you got a Bible. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. And then to our Christian flag, I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. And then to our American flag, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Sister Jen, if you want to come up.
You never change. You are the God you say you are. When I'm afraid, you calm and still my beating heart. You stay the same. When hope is just a distant thought, you take my pain and you lead me to the cross. What love is this that you gave your life for me and made a way for me to know you? And I confess, you're always enough for me. You're all I need. I look to you. I see the scars upon your hands that hold the truth, that when I can't, you always can. I'm standing here beneath the shadow of the cross. I'm overwhelmed that I keep finding open arms. What love is this that you gave your life for me and made a way for me to know you? And I confess you're always enough for me. You're all I need. Jesus, in your suffering, you were reaching. You thought of me. Jesus, in your suffering, you were reaching. You thought of me. What love is this that you gave your life for me and made a way for me to know you? And I confess you're always enough for me, always enough for me.
I introduced Jen as one of the Rices. She's not really her last name is Rice. She's hung around us so long that I think sometimes she is, but she's also a student out at Vision Baptist College. It's good to have her here. Well, our announcements are in the bulletin. Appreciate again that we could be here on this for Independence Day weekend again, and appreciate again that we could worship together. Boy, it's good to hear a bunch of voices singing. We can have a maximum capacity of 100 in the building, and they said we could operate up to 33% now, so we're allowed to have 33 in here. Other than that, we have to open our upstairs and put people upstairs in the sweat room upstairs, but it's good to have each one here. Praise the Lord. And we got so many Rices here that we aren't social distancing with Rices again, we're all family again. So it's good again to be here. It's good again to worship and to praise the Lord for your being here. Praise the Lord. We got Jeannie on board there. All right. It's good to have Jeannie here. And again, others joining us via Facebook. And we just appreciate that. We want to give everyone an opportunity to give, but we don't pass an offering plate. That's probably one of the hardest things for Baptists to get over, is passing the offering plate again, so we don't do that. But we do have offering plates in the back, and Rowan's got an offering. What's that?
Can I do the offering plate?
Oh, no, we can't. We aren't allowed to touch the offering plate. All you can do is drop money in from afar. Okay, so those are the rules of the insurance companies anyway. So we don't want to be negligent during these times of a pandemic. But boy, I appreciate again that we can gather. Appreciate again that we didn't shut down per se, except for one service again the first time when we didn't know that they didn't know what they was doing again. But boy, we've had continuing on. We haven't had an ability to reach people through multimedia again. We're not a multimedia kind of a church, and we don't have a multimedia kind of congregation normally. And so it's been good that we could just keep right on worshiping. Praise the Lord. And boy, it's good to gather together with a few people here again today. Praise the Lord. So let's go ahead. Let's see. Christina is going to play us an offertory again. So if you'd come on up and play our offertory. And let's just again, we could have a wave offering if you've got. Only we won't publicize that. So we will have a wave offering. If you have an offering and you don't want to carry it back to the bag, you just wave it in the air. And I'm sure we could get a volunteer usher that would grab that from you and drop it in the offering plate in the bag. Praise the Lord. Appreciate again that we can give. Appreciate again what God's doing to keep our finances healthy and strong, and the lights on, and the preacher paid, and everything that's going on here, and all of our missionaries again supported so faithfully again through our faith promise. What a blessing it has been. So you give today as part of your worship, and Christine is going to play us an offertory. Yeah. Thank you, Christina. Don't go too far away. We'll sing next. Let's go ahead and sing our doxology. Praise the Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you have a little piece of paper? Do you know all the words? We have more special music today. Hallelujah. You got to hold that for me. Here, get over here so I don't stand here. This time.
He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be.
He tells me every care on him
be seated. I need somebody with a Bible to stand up and read Isaiah chapter 12. I need someone with a King James Bible to stand up and read first, good and loud, Isaiah chapter 12. Read through the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, I'm going to preach out of that, not that chapter, but Isaiah this morning. But boy, I love chapter 12. It's kind of like a crescendo that builds up and builds up until it hits chapter 12. And chapter 12 is not just for the Jews. It talks about your salvation for Gentiles too. Praise the Lord. Someone got that? Brother Tracy, read for us.
And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comforts me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore will joy shall ye draw out water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee.
Praise the Lord. I love that again. That's as good as poetry right there again. And appreciate that. Brother Shane, it's been good to have Shane and Kathy and the gang with us here. We had Rice's all coming out the... I mean, they was everywhere yesterday. And so it was good that you could run around and say, Pastor Rice, Pastor Rice, hi, Pastor Rice, hi, Pastor Rice. So three Pastor Rices were there yesterday. And we just had a good time. Fellowship with family and friend. And Shane, you come on up and share with us again a little bit of that pledge. All right. I was looking through something to post on our website for 4th of July for our church, and I stumbled upon this nugget of history. I was looking up the Pledge of Allegiance, and I thought, you know, where did it come from, and who wrote it? Does anybody know who wrote it? Here's a spontaneous quiz. Rowan, who was it?
George Washington?
No, it was not George Washington. Nice try, though. It was another fella, and I don't remember his name, but I know it was not George Washington. It was Newham or something like that. Anyways, he wrote it as a personal pledge, kind of like to America. And then later, the phrase, under God, was added to the Pledge of Allegiance. It was also modified to make it U.S.-centric. But the phrase under God was added. Does anybody know who added the phrase under God? My kids are excluded because I already gave this history lesson. All right. It was President Dwight Eisenhower added the phrase under God to the Pledge of Allegiance in 1954. And he said this. He said this is a quote. In this way, we are reaffirming the transcendence of religious faith in America's heritage and future. In this way, we shall constantly strengthen those spiritual weapons which forever will be our country's most powerful resources in peace and war. What an incredible quote that is, really, from one of our presidents. And I don't know a lot about Dwight Eisenhower, but I do know that that quote is very good and very powerful. And as you think about it, I was just thinking a little bit about that quote this morning, and the Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, it says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then he goes on and talks about the armor of God. And certainly, as we think about it, sometimes it's easy to become confused as to who the enemy is. And sometimes we can even think, well, the enemy is the Democrats or the Republicans. Or sometimes we can even begin to think, well, it's a racial issue. You know, the enemy is black people or white people or Mexican people. And I'm glad it's not Mexican people because I like enchiladas and tacos and burritos. But the truth of the matter is, the enemy is not a person that we are fighting against. The truth of the matter is, even in America, even in our political system, there is a spiritual war that is going on.
And we need to recognize that and realize that. And Dwight D. Eisenhower said this. He said, I love this part of it. He said, shall constantly strengthen those spiritual weapons which forever will be our country's most powerful resources in peace and war. And our nation's resource is not the dollar. Our nation's resource is not the political sway we may have around the world. Our resource that we have that is most powerful is the Word of God. And God Himself in our country. And we need to recognize that. We need to be aware of that, that we are in a spiritual battle. And listen, the country is made up of us. And I thought of one other verse, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. The Bible says this, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And sometimes we think, well, we're small, we're one person. Listen, there's pockets of Christians all over America. And if all of those pockets of Christians realize we need to live righteously. We need to make sure. We can complain all you want about our country and the direction she's going, and you can, but that's not going to do any good. We need to police ourselves and live righteously ourselves, because that will exalt a nation. And if we have a base of godliness and Christians who will stand up and do what's right on a daily basis, though it may seem small, and though you may see, well, I'm just one. Listen, we're all one. Where there's pockets of individual people all over, and if we would do what's right, it would exalt a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people, and it has to start with us. And we need to make sure that we live right, and that we do right, and that we fight the spiritual battle day to day in our own personal life, that we would do what's right and pray for our country.
Yeah, pray, Lord. All right, amen. You Christians run around pointing at other people trying to find out who's to blame. God gave us a verse that said, if my people, which are called by my name, we could see revival. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that again. And that was a patriotic message too. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and sing my favorite 4th of July song. It's in your song sheet there. And it's my favorite song because I love to hear Baptists say, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, let's stand and lift it up. Christ our Lord is.
Sing ye heaven and earth reply.
may be seated. Open your Bibles to Isaiah, book of Isaiah in chapter 24. I'm going to preach a message. I didn't put the title in the bulletin. I'm a little nervous about the title of this message. And I don't know where the title came from, but and I don't even want to admit that it got stuck in my head somehow, but the title of the message is "There's a Whole Lot of Shaking Going On Again." And some of you might know where that came from. If you do, do not tell me, okay? I don't want to know, all right? I hope that doesn't bring bad visions to your memory again about a whole lot of shaking going on. But we're going to look at some of the things the Bible says about a whole lot of shaking going on. And I want to go ahead and just teach us here. Coming in the 4th of July, Independence Day, we see again things going on in our nation that's unbelievable. And so Isaiah in chapter 24, there's so many chapters in Isaiah that I love. Now Isaiah, I had a Southern Baptist preacher said, man, Isaiah is the hardest book in the Bible to comprehend. It is not, unless you believe in covenant theology. If you believe in covenant theology, you don't know what to do with this book. If you believe in replacement theology, Isaiah will cramp your style and it'll be the hardest book in the Bible to understand. But let me give you a quick outline of Isaiah first, that God is going to judge his people. Second, God is going to judge the nations of the earth. Third, God is going to restore his people. And God is going to have them rule in this world for 1,000 years again. Unless you have that straight, if you are from a Protestant church with a covenant theology, you will not have a clue. If you don't know what a dispensation is, you will not be able to follow what's going on in the book of Isaiah. And that's why I love Isaiah and chapter 24. Isaiah chapter 24, I kept searching, I need one chapter that captures it all, and here it is, Isaiah chapter 24. So now we got, what, two chapters out of Isaiah that's Pastor Rice's favorite, Isaiah 12 and 24. And look, they rhyme with each other, and so again, we're getting there. Next, we're going to be looking at probably like 36 or something, I think, maybe, but notice again that this chapter, again, has it all and is a tremendous portrayal of those four things that I just mentioned. The fact that God is going to judge his people Israel. And listen, when we see things about his people Israel, understand that the church will never replace Israel. The church cannot take the promises of Israel. We have Baptists arguing about when the church began, and most of them don't know where the argument even started. It's like the Hatfield and McCoy, is that what it was? The old feud. They were feuding so long they forgot what they were fighting about. And that's the way it is with Baptists who are arguing about when the church began. Listen, covenant theology says the church began in Genesis. And the hyper-dispensationalist says the church began in the end of Acts. And again, those of us who understand the Bible and believe it all understand that it began by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his church. He started the church. What got me off on that tangent? But again, God has made some promises to Israel and he's going to fulfill them. But one of them is that he's going to judge them. We just read in Isaiah this week again that he's going to judge them worse than he's... What did it say? Twice as much as they deserve. He's going to give them twice as much judgment as they deserve again. And so the nation of Israel was judged by God and sent into the Babylonian captivity. Picture Isaiah here. Isaiah is a prophet during Hezekiah's lifetime. He saw the Assyrians come in and take all the 10 northern tribes. And now here's Isaiah preaching to Hezekiah to say again that, hey, Babylon, you're going to end up in Babylon. There's going to be a Babylon captivity. And there's no way of getting around it. We read again a couple weeks ago in Josiah, the great revivals they had under King Josiah. And again, the complete turning to God. And God said to the king, Josiah, boy, this is great. There's never been a king like you since David didn't even do this good. But he said, it's not enough, and I'm still going to send judgment. And he would not repent of the judgment he was sending to his people.
And so we saw that again as we read through these chapters, that God's people are going to be judged. And then we see again that God, the nations that deal with Israel are going to be judged for how they deal with Israel. Listen, 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 Obama. How we deal with Israel, the nation's going to be judged on that. Obama was the first president to call Israel occupiers of Palestinian land. He should know better. He should know what promised land is. He pretended to be a Christian, but didn't even know what the promised land is. And so, again, understand, nations are going to be judged based on what they do with Israel. And then finally, we're going to see the restoration. We see all of that in one chapter here, Isaiah chapter 24. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, and let me go ahead and expound for you in the next couple minutes. Again, a whole lot of shaking that's going on. It starts here in Isaiah chapter 24. You follow along in your Bible as I read from God's holy writ. It says, "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with the master, as with the maid, so with the mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the usury or giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken his word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away, and the haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore," verse 6, "therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell thereon are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. The new wine mourneth, the vine languishes, and the merry hearted do sigh. The mirth of tabaret cease. The noise of them that rejoice endeth. The joy of the harp ceases. They shall not drink wine with a strong drink. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drinketh. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up, and no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets, and all joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. In the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction." Watch verse 13. Then thus it shall be in the midst of the land, among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. Father, praise you and thank you for your word, and thank you as we would look at it today and see the woes that are coming upon this earth. We know again that some woes are past, yet woes are still hanging before us. And as we look at the condition of our streets in America, of our cities, of the rebellion and the people that reject you as their creator, Lord, our heart longs again that we could see a turning of America. But when we see again your word, we understand that this is a picture of the destitute human heart, the rebellion that we have against you. We thank you, Father, that you've revived our hearts. You've quickened us, given us eyes to see. And I pray again, we'd see some things even from this portion of Scripture that would encourage us and bless us, and cause again that we'd have a zeal for you in these last of the last days. We'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 16 picks up from the
uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgressions thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. There's not a lot of optimism in what I've read so far. All right. This is very pessimistic, I guess you would. And I've said this from the beginning, since the pandemic started, and since we started seeing the riots in the street and the Black Lives Matter movement to overthrow our nation. It has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with treating people equally.
Right.
It has everything to do with overthrowing America. It has everything to do with socialism being taught in our colleges for four generations now.
Right.
And so again, when we understand what's going on, I've said all along that this is bigger than liberal Democrats. This is bigger than I mean, they could they do a lot of vile things and they say a lot of vile things. But listen, that pandemic was bigger than what Democrats could pull off. They're taking as full advantage of it as they can. The riots in the street is bigger than they even would start. And they're taking every advantage of it they can to again, work their way into November. But again, understand this, that the devil, just like Shane said, the devil is behind this. There are higher powers than what we can understand that's working. And I want you to picture God's up in heaven just wringing his hands saying, oh my, what am I going to do now? Oh my, look what's happening. I don't think so again. So understand that God is in control and he's watching over.
Right.
I hear Christians say this, and someone might be here again, so I want to be careful. But I hear Christians say, oh boy, I just can't wait for the Lord to come return. Listen, that's a wrong attitude for a Christian to have today. We live in interesting times, and it is the last days. And rather than wringing our hands saying, man, I just can't wait to get out of here, we ought to say, I ought to be busy.
Yeah.
Today's the day of salvation. Behold, now's the time. It's not time to sleep. It's time to be awake and alert and doing what few chances we have to use to spread the gospel right now. And so again, even in this message, as we see the gloom and doom that God portrays, understand that, hey, it's not going to get better. We might have a resurgence. We might have another awakening in America. We might have, again, a time when America opens their eyes that they have a creator. But this preacher, I don't think so. Again, I might get in trouble with some preachers for saying that. But I don't see any revival coming. I don't see any great awakening. I don't see another great turning in America. What I see is shaken fists. I saw a poster again at a queer march that they were having. And while someone was carrying a poster that said, if Jesus comes back, we'll kill him again. Wow. Now there's an attitude that is prevalent in America. I think that was in Canada, actually. The preacher put that up. Who saw that. But again, understand that America as a whole has their fish doubled and shaken at God. They know there is a creator. As much as they've denied it, they know. The Romans chapter 1 says they know. And so again, as we see that things are going to wax worse and worse. Until Jesus asks the questions, when I return, will I find faith on the earth?
There'll be a remnant, but it'll be a little remnant. We used to believe, again, that there's going to be the rapture of church, and that's what's going to take America off the scene. That, again, all the Christians are going to be raptured, and America is going to be left almost empty. Listen, I want you to understand that the evangelical Christian crowd in America, that we're counting on, by the way, to vote in our next president for a second term. And listen, again, that's what voted him in the first time. Make no mistake.
Right.
There's millions of... what did they say? How many million? Only like 6 million vote. I forgot the exact numbers. But only like 6 million people vote to determine the election. And 34 million people sat in evangelical pews of churches. And so think of that. How many of them do you have to get out and vote before, again, we could overturn the whole thing? Well, we found that out in 2016. And listen, make no mistake, we need to find it again in 2020. And so again, if President Trump loses the election, there's going to be riots in the street like you wouldn't believe. If President Trump wins the election, there's going to be riots in the street like you wouldn't believe. And so again, understand that don't put your hopes in November. Put your hopes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm praying for some things to happen in November. And again, that would at least save face for America. And again, when I look at some of the prayers in the Bible, I look and say, wow, look at that. They prayed again. Hezekiah, when he brought that letter and laid it down on the altar, he said, at the temple, he said, Lord, have you seen what is going on down here? And listen, I've done the same prayer. I've repeated Hezekiah's prayer a couple times. And laid the newspaper down on the altar and said, Lord, have you seen what's going on in Washington, D.C. and Albany? And so again, understand that we need to count on the Lord, but we need to be about the Lord's business right now. So let me show you a few things about a whole lot of shaking going on. Here from this context, understand that this shaking is going on is going to be a shaking of the heavens. We've already read in chapter 13, which started on this vein, therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. And so when we're talking about an earthquake, when we're talking about a shaking of the earth, when we're talking about a shaking of the planets even, of heavens, notice again that God is acting in his wrath. Haggai says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. The desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Haggai chapter 2 says, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of kingdoms in the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots with those that ride on them, and the horses and their riders will come down, every one with the sword of his brother. Revelation chapter 6. If you're familiar with Revelation, there's seven sealed on a book, and all those seals have got to be opened in preparation for the opening of the book. And so they opened the seven seals. The sixth seal says this, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty hand. Let's stop for a minute and understand the difference between a fig tree and an olive tree. We read in our text here in chapter 24 that the olive tree is shaken. Did you see that? There's seven trees mentioned in the Bible in relation to Israel. The fig tree is not one of them. And so again, the olive tree here is representative of Israel. And I think it was in verse 13. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree and as of the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. So when it's talking about a shaking olive tree, remember Jesus' prophecy that if you want to know when the time is right for his return, watch the... Which tree was that again? Watch the fig tree. No, that's not it. Watch the olive tree.
And so again, when we look at that, again, there's a timing of God's judgment there that's talking about a shaking tree. Remember Psalms 1, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And so when we're looking at shaking trees, boy, there's lots of trees in the Bible. The myrtle tree, the fir tree, the cedar tree. Here's the fig tree and the olive tree. Understand this, when it's talking about the olive tree, it's talking about Israel that he planted in the garden. When it's talking about the fig tree, it's talking about the world. Remember, who was the prophet that had a bunch of naughty figs that he found? Here, the shaking of the fig tree and from the seal that's open in Revelation is the judgment of the world, the judgment of the nations, the judgment of all of mankind. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he hath that touched you, hath touched the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. He shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me." And so we see again, talking about the judgment of the nations is going to be a great shaking of the world. In the Nahum chapter 2, it says, "For the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob." Now it's talking about Jacob here. It's talking about the nation of Israel again. "As the excellency of Israel, for the emptiers have emptied them and marred their vine branches, and the shield of his mighty man is made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. Chariots will be a flaming torches in the day of his preparation. The fir trees shall be terribly shaken." The fir tree, again, is normally used in the building of materials. All the top of the temple was built from fir and cedar. All the palaces of the kings was built. So it's normally a building material. All the strongholds, it says, shall be like fig trees. "And the first ripe figs, if they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater." And so we see there again, Israel is going to be treated just like the rest of the world. As far as its judgment and its shaking, there is, of course, a good shaking. You remember again in Matthew chapter 28, "Behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment as white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake." And so we do find accounts of good shaking. In Acts chapter 4, they had a prayer meeting. We got Pentecostals that have prayer meetings and fall down and roll and yeah, but I've never seen a building shaken Pentecostal prayer meeting again. And that's what they had in Acts chapter 4. They had a prayer meeting and the building shook. And so again, there are signs that God sends with some shaking, so get us to wake up and have our attention. Remember in Acts 16, verse 31, tells you just what must be done. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Who was told that? That was a Philippian jailer. And what started that conversation was a whole bunch of shaking going on where the prison doors were broken off. And so again, there are times in the Bible when God shakes things up to get Christians' attention and to cause again that we'd sit up and take mine. There are verses in the Bible, hold your place here and look back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. I miss Brother Cramner not being here, so 2 Thessalonians is right behind 2 Thessalonians, okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2 says, "That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." A Christian should not be shaken by what's going on in the world. By what's going on in the world right now, what's going on in Washington, what's going on in Seattle, what's going on as far as the attempted overthrow of our country. Again, we needn't be shaken. "And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what went we out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind?
No, that ain't what they went out to see. They went out to see someone that was steadfast. Listen, if you're going to be a witness for Christ, you need to be steadfast. And you don't need to be shaken. I'd even say you don't need to wear a mask everywhere you go. You don't need to be scared to death again of what's going on here in this world. We need to be bold as a lion. Matthew 24, for there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. And so we know some things and have no business being scared as Christians. We know some things about where this world's going. We know some things that's what's going to happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about the rapture of the church. And you can't get that out of your Bible. It's there permanently. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, hey, pay attention. You ought not be children of darkness. You've got the light. And so we know what's going to happen. We know where this thing is going. And we ought not to be quaking and fearful. We, again, ought to stand steadfast. I said, to hold your place there in Isaiah. And if you did that, put a bookmark in there and keep it there like forever. Okay? But in the meantime, let's flip over to the book of Hebrews. If you found 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, it's close to that. The last chapter of Hebrews is encouraging and a blessing. The whole book of Hebrews tells, again, is a book to the Hebrews, if that's any confusion to people. And again, we're not Hebrews here, we're Gentiles, but we're born again Gentiles. And as we look at God's Word, boy, there's some things in this book of Hebrews. Beverly and I started reading Hebrews this week, and I had memorized it for college. I had memorized the whole first chapter. I love it. It's poetry again. It's like God who at sundry times and in diverse manners. Anyway, let's go to chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Look with me just at the first verse so you'll know where we're at. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember, Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of fame of faith. And Hebrews chapter 12 begins this way. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience and the race that is set before us. I wish I could preach the whole chapter. I wish I could preach all the book of Hebrews right now and all the lettuce. There's a whole head of lettuce in the book of Hebrews with all the lettuces that he has. Let's jump instead to verse 18. And we'll go ahead and pick it up and close it down here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 18. It says this, For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, talking about the mount that Moses stood on to receive the law, nor unto the blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they have entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. And he's got a parenthesis in verse 20 and 21, just so they'll remember again that was with the nation of Israel. Said, oh no, Moses, you go on up to the mount. We don't want to hear from God anymore. And so, again, what the author's here saying is that, hey, we're not like that. We don't have that situation. Look what it says, verse 22. But ye are come not to Mount Zion, or not to Mount... I forgot the name of the mountain that they had come to. It's Sinara.
Sion.
Sin.
S-I-O-N.
Sinai.
That's this one.
Is it Sinai?
Which mountain did they come to? Pentecost. If you forget the law. In the wilderness of? Sinai? Sinara? No, that's not it. Back in Moses' day, anyway. So we're not coming to that mountain.
Deuteronomy.
Yeah, that's in Deuteronomy.
33:2.
Instead, we are come to this mountain, and ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Don't forget that, again, we're not under law.
and we don't shake and quiver and shake. Anyone ever heard of the Quakers before?
Yep.
Anyone know where they got their name?
From Germany, I think.
Yeah. And in German, Quaker means quake. Okay, so they got their name from Quakers. You got to look that up, find out where Quakers came from. But listen, we're not called to be shakers. We're not called to be nervous and scared. Look at verse 23. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And this is who we've come to in Mount Zion. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Verse 25, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape, shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signified and removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Again, understand that when everything's shaken around us, notice the verse here, the context here again is that, hey, you've got stuff in your life that's unshakable. And when the whole world is shaken around us, a Christian has a truth that's unshakable. We oughtn't be shaken. And if you are shaken, stop watching the news, okay? And start reading your Bible.
Amen.
Charlie Clark keeps saying it's time that you had less Facebook and more face in the book. All right. I don't know whether it was him or his dad that came up with that again. But again, to understand that, hey, we need, again, just not be shaken by all the things that's going on in this earth. And we not even be wringing our hands and saying, boy, I can't wait till the Lord returns. We need to be busy. We need to be taking a stand. We need to be making a difference. And let's do that again as we walk in this world. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you for your great love for us. And thank you again that you've given us truths that we can stand on and not shake. I praise you again and thank you, Father, that you've given us the ability to stand. Father, all the world around us sometimes looking at us, even through a mask. And Father, I pray again that you'd help us to be unshakable and unshaken. Help us to be a testimony and a witness, always ready to give an answer for the hope that lieth in us. And I'll praise you again and thank you, Father, for encouraging our hearts in this day and age that we live in, that we could be a witness, that we could be a testimony, that we could reach someone who is hungry right now for salvation, someone who wants to hear the truth. And Father, just open our avenues again that we could again walk down that street and be a witness and testimony, even in this new week that we begin this day. Thank you for the celebration of Independence Day. But I pray again, Father, that you would just now touch our hearts in a special way and cause again that we'd have a new zeal for you, and not be quaking, not have fear, but again, have a witness for you. We'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Let's stand for just a moment and have an invitation. And as we do, again, perhaps God's used his words to tug on your heart in a special way. So if that be the case, I just ask again as our pianist plays a hymn here again that let's just have a moment of invitation and search our hearts and search our prayer lives.
Bible says in the book of Joel, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. The Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Father, praise you and thank you that we can worship on this day. Thank you for each one that's come out. Thank you for each one that listen in. Pray your special blessing on our efforts for you this week. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you today.